Hello, everyone. I'm Drew.
I'm Bailey.
I'm Lacey.
And we're sarcastic, so that's good sinister. Hello.
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 I got a dishwasher.
Ooh,
it's nice. Not here yet, but I bought it from Lowe's this time, so I feel more confident.
I'm back on the
east
side of the country. Yeah,
east side. Welcome back to this time.
It was only 3 hours, but wow, was it. It felt crazy.
I was just watching a episode of Judge Judy where she comes out and first thing she says is, "Who was late?" And when you know when she starts off like that, you're like, oh, Judy's in a mood today because someone was late to court. And the defendant was late, and she said that she was confused about what time to get there because she's from New York and she's never traveled to the West Coast, so she didn't understand time zone.
I feel like I understood time zones long before the first time I traveled outside of my time zone.
And it wasn't like an episode from Judge Judy of the 90s when like they didn't have cell phones that would automatically adjust.
Right.
It wasn't her purple Judy era, but it was looking relatively.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Here's the thing. Knows.
There she is.
I know. It's because I keep fidgeting with the like tags that are on the cord.
Mm-hmm.
Where's your fidget toys?
And my camera's just like, don't touch me. And then when I touch it, it says, no, thank you. So I'm just not going to have a camera, which is fine. You guys don't need to see me.
I'll miss you, though.
Oh, I'm right here, Lace.
Always in our heart.
Pretend
on our mind.
Here with us, running the episode.
I mean, she's not here.
Yeah, I'm right here, dude.
So clear.
Stop telling everybody I'm dead!
Sometimes I can still hear her voice.
I'm right here. That was
name that movie. Why are you changing?
Because
all
you guys can't see me, so I'm sad. I'm changing the thoughts, and that's it. Calm down.
I saw. So for anyone that doesn't know or doesn't follow my socials, you should, because I uploaded beautiful pictures. But on the way into...
Tell people what the link or whatever is.
Oh, it's Bailey Seneviva on Instagram. It's fine.
Do you like how I said link? I'm so hip.
You are so hip. On the way into Seattle, we saw this really funny... what is it? Mortuary sign? Morgue sign. But so we passed it thinking it was real, but it turns out after looking at it, because I was driving later, it's for a Seattle Haunts thing, but that's the sign. And it's just 2 feet for the morgue.
Oh.
Wait, what? I don't understand.
So it's for a haunted attraction, but passing it, just like I looked at it, I was like, why does a morgue have signage? And also, its signage is 2 feet with a tag on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it wasn't until like after I wasn't driving, because I can actually look at the sign, that it's for like a haunted attraction. I thought that was funny. Yeah.
So am I reading this case today, Lacey, or
we missed your voice.
I forgot that we already talked about it. So much has happened since then.
Give us your beautiful voice.
Lacey, Bailey doesn't know what you're talking about.
That's okay. She'll figure it out.
Wouldn't she?
Yeah. That's time.
What does that mean? Secrets are no fun.
It's not a secret.
Oh. Lacey loves lunch.
Does that help? I don't love leprechauns.
What is happening with my name? Also, why is your name normal?
For
the people that can only listen and don't see us, Drew's currently changing our tag names in our recording system. So I'm Bailey, in quotes, bad baby.
Bartleby? Do you know Bed Drew, Bunny?
Yeah. Drew drinks dinner.
I'm thinking of alliterations for me and Lacey, or for everybody, actually, but I wanted to give Bailey a
home. You drinking dinner just makes it seem like you're an alcoholic.
Yeah. I think that's what she meant.
I thought it meant, like, I had, like, a broken jaw.
No.
I also thought alcohol.
I was thinking, she's just going to have liquid.
Drinking her, her dinner.
She's going to have some beer.
Okay.
Dame Drew?
Listen, I'm ready to start the episode. Get off my name.
You start the episode. I'll come up with something.
Okay, sounds good. So first, before we jump in here, I just want to let everybody know that Karen Reed is back in the courtroom. Did you know that?
She's probably sick of it there.
Well, so even though I know that you guys were like, she's been acquitted of John O'Keefe's murder. She's gone through two trials for it. Not found guilty either time. Mm-hmm. So obviously she should be done. But John O'Keefe's family has filed a wrongful death lawsuit against her. And two Canton bars.
Okay.
And so then, but she's also now suing, everybody's suing everybody civilly. So, cool. Everything's cool. All right. Ready to dive on in?
Sure. Okay.
So, on July 29th, 2023, Erin Trudy Patterson invited her estranged husband and former in-laws over for a lunch at her home. Don and Gail Patterson and Heather and Ian Wilkinson arrived at her home while Erin's husband, Simon Patterson, declined the invitation. Erin served her guests beef Wellington with mashed potatoes and green beans.
Ooh.
What'd you say, Lace?
Fancy.
Oh, yeah. When I saw that, I was like, Gordon Ramsay, that's like his like signature dish. And she's just serving it for lunch.
To her estranged husband's parents.
Uh-huh.
Huh.
And aunt
Maybe
and
they're
uncle.
Close.
And aunt and uncle.
The purpose of the lunch was to discuss Erin's recent cancer diagnosis. Faced with her own mortality, Erin wanted to mend the strained relationship she shared with her former in-laws. She wanted to reconcile and get along better with Simon's family. The attendees were thrilled to have received an invite and were looking forward to improving relations with Erin. Shortly after the meal, however, all five adults at the table became suddenly ill.
Oh no.
Dawn Patterson.
Did something wrong?
What?
Did she give them food poisoning?
Well, that.
Which was
everybody's
people
sick.
Poisoning.
So let's think. Six people were invited to eat, mm-hmm. five of them showed up, and all five of them became ill.
she undercooked something.
I'm suspicious, but we're really early in the episode, so.
Yeah, I know. I've noticed that you seem to be focused heavily on Aaron, which is interesting. Donald Patterson was a 70-year-old retiree at the time of the lunch. In 1973, he married Gail, and together the couple had four children: Simon, Matthew, Nathan, and Anna. In 1984, the pair settled in Currumburra, a town southeast of Melbourne. This takes place in Australia, by the way.
I figured that out after you said Melbourne.
Donald had worked as a high school teacher before retiring in the early 2000s. Those who knew him described him as a kind, intelligent, and deeply loving father. Gail, also 70 years old, was known for her dedication to community service. A few years prior to this lunch, Gail had been diagnosed with encephalitis. She had recovered, but was struggling with the side effects. She and Don had 10 grandchildren. The day after the lunch, on July 30th, Don and Gail were admitted to Leongatha Hospital, a small regional hospital in Victoria, Australia. Don was suffering from severe nausea, vomiting, abdominal pain, and diarrhea. Gail had severe gastrointestinal distress, also suffering from nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, and abdominal pain. Shortly after arriving, both Don and Gail's livers started to fail. They were quickly transferred to the Austin Hospital in Melbourne. Upon arrival, Don underwent a liver transplant, while Gail's condition quickly deteriorated. Gail was not a candidate for a new liver due to the severity of her illness. Gail died on August 4th, 2023.
No.
Lacey's birthday. At 5:55 p.m. Despite the transplant, Don's condition continued to worsen as he began suffering from multiple organ failure. Don died on August 5th, 2023, at 11:30 p.m.
Sounds like we need Dr. House.
Right?
Mm.
Yeah.
Heather Wilkinson was Gail's 66-year-old sister. She was married to Reverend Ian Wilkinson, and together the couple had four children. Heather loved motherhood. She loved to laugh and have fun. She worked as an integration aide at the Currumburra Secondary College, where she was known for her ability to connect with students. Those who knew her described her as compassionate and caring. Reverend Ian was 69 years old at the time of the lunch and had been the pastor at the Currumburra Baptist Church since 1999. Ian was described as being gentle, composed, and warm. Similar to Don and Gail, Heather and Ian were also admitted to Leongatha Hospital, suffering from severe nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, and abdominal pain. As Heather and Ian's conditions worsened and they started exhibiting signs of acute liver failure, they too were transferred to Austin Hospital, arriving shortly after Don and Gail on August 1st. Both of the Wilkinsons received intensive care, but unfortunately, Heather succumbed to her symptoms and died on August 4th, 2023, 15 hours before Gail at 2:50 a.m. Mm.
So they were all at the same hospital?
Yes. So they first went to the local hospital, and then as their liver started to fail, they were transferred to the closest, more...
like advanced hospital.
Right. Heather died of altered liver function and multiple organ failure. Although Ian's condition was critical, he was placed on a liver transplant list. After weeks of intensive care, Ian received a new liver and eventually recovered. He was discharged from Austin Hospital on September 23rd, 2023.
Hey, that was a really quick turnaround for a new liver. Did you say weeks?
Yes.
Okay. I just feel like a lot of times people are looking for transplants for, like, years if they get one.
The sicker you are, the higher on the list you go.
That makes sense.
But don't they also take age into consideration for that?
typically, but like I don't know if we have a different system than Australia does.
That's right, we're not Australia. This is Australia.
Yeah.
Australia.
So born in September born September 30th, 1974, Erin Scudder grew up in a suburb of Melbourne with her parents and sister. Her mother, Heather, was a professor and expert in children's literature. Her father, his name is spelled E-I-T-A-N. How do you think you spell say that?
Eaton. What accent was that?
I don't know. Eaton. I don't know.
It sounds Swedish, and we're not in Sweden.
What I found is that it's pronounced Eitan. Aiden. Like Aiden, maybe?
All right.
Okay. They're in another country. Leave them alone. He was a director of multiple Australian companies, so both parents were very successful. Erin's sister... You ready for another name, Lace?
Yeah.
C-E-I-N-W-E-N.
W what?
E-N.
Are they like... I know we're in Australian, but... In Australian. I know we're in Australia, but they look like traditional Irish names. Have you ever seen the Irish names? Mm-hmm. And then, like, the pronunciation is so different than you would expect. That's what the names are reminding me of. How is hers pronounced?
Caenwyn.
Okay, that's not too crazy for the spelling. But it still feels like...
But what's weird is, like, her name is Erin.
Yeah.
Does she spell it differently?
No. E-R-I-N. Anyway, her sister eventually became a scientist. Erin later spoke about how her mother would weigh her and her sister every week to make sure they weren't putting on too much weight. This caused Erin to develop an eating disorder as well as self-esteem issues. Erin started studying science at the University of Melbourne, but then changed to accounting. She eventually graduated, then trained to be an air traffic controller. Bailey is making faces. She's trying to connect the dots here. She's wondering how she went from science to accounting to then air traffic controller.
Get out of my brain.
Erin began working for Air Services Australia. Her co-workers remember her as being a little bit strange. Three former colleagues said some would call her Crazy Erin or Scudder the Nutter behind her back, which I adore.
It just feels like whoever came up with Crazy Erin was just lazy.
Yeah, like, I would say that is not have, like, a creative nickname.
Yeah, if you're gonna have a nickname for someone, go in.
That's Erin. Like, she's crazy. We call her Crazy Erin.
I feel like there were people in the office who were kind of like rivals, and the one came up with Scudder the Nutter, and the other one was like, "Well, what about Crazy Erin?" It's like, okay, but Scudder the Nutter is so much better.
Yeah.
Anyway, another colleague remembered Erin being aggressive when she spoke to people. Within 3 years of entering the industry, Erin left. She began working in animal management for the RSPCA, based in the city of Monash's Council Building.
Right.
That's where she met Simon Patterson in 2004. Simon was working as a council engineer for the city of Monash. The two began dating. Simon fell in love with Erin's intelligence and wit. That same year, Erin was involved in a car accident where she was three times over the legal limit.
Oh no.
Macy's camera just died.
I bumped like the camera off button on my keyboard that I just now discovered I have.
Oh, okay. Also, you cut out after you said, oh no.
Help.
Is Drew still there?
Yeah, I am. I'm just confused as to what Lacey's doing. I hear buttons.
don't know how to come back.
I feel like she saw me without my camera on and she was like, me too.
That's fine. I'll just stare at myself.
You can look at the picture of Aaron and Simon.
No, I'm over it. Aaron looks like she's close to tears.
Oh, she is always.
Oh, I will say her haircut is like perfect for her face frame.
That's so nice. What about it Simon? Is.
He doesn't have hair.
Perfect. She was driving in. Okay, so she was in a car accident, right?
Mm-hmm.
Three times she over was, the legal limit.
She was drunk.
Right. She was also driving an unregistered car.
Ooh.
And then she didn't even stop after the crash. She didn't give her name or address. She just left. And also, at the time of the crash, she was going 60 in a 40.
Mm.
Where did Lacey go?
Speaking of going over the speed limit, guess who got who brought home a speeding ticket as a souvenir?
Hold on a second. I just need to address Lacey.
Don't worry about it. I don't know what happened, but I'm back now and my camera's on.
Did Bailey get a speeding ticket in Washington?
No, I didn't.
Pat?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
I saw the side eye, too.
Mm-hmm. Is it because their speed limit doesn't go higher than 60 and that's kind of silly on a highway?
Yeah.
Okay, we're not going to talk like that while we're recording, friend.
He was caught doing 86 in a 60.
Damn, dude.
Oh, no, Pat.
Yeah.
Even our highways don't go up to 86.
Yeah.
Thankfully, the cop was nice and dropped it down to 80 over 60. Because otherwise, someone could have been taken to jail.
Oh, no.
Yeah. In his defense, I mean, it was a long day of driving. Like, all the places we were going to were, like, 2+ hours away. And we were on the way home. It was late.
Is he going to plead guilty to the ticket?
I think so.
Otherwise, he would have to go to court, and then also they could use this recording against him since he just said he was going 86.
Everybody forget you heard this.
Anyway, Lacey, did you hear
snitches
all the
get stitches, shit? Y'all.
Did you hear all the bad shit that she was doing in 2004?
Yeah, her car accident where she was like three times over the limit and she was speeding and her car was unregistered.
And she didn't stop.
And she, okay, that part I missed.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Also, real quick.
You already have like that many offenses on you, just
keep going.
Yeah.
Real quick, Bill, since we're talking about Australia, instead of snitching or tattletaling, it's called dobbing.
Dobbing get
popped.
Okay, that doesn't rhyme. Aaron pleaded guilty to 5 charges and was convicted and fined $1,000. Her license was canceled and she was ineligible to drive in Victoria for 2.5 years. In 2007, Aaron and Simon got married. Aaron was walked down the aisle by one of Simon's cousins. Her parents did not attend the wedding.
Why?
Interesting.
Aaron claimed they were on a vacation in Russia on a train.
Aaron claimed.
Wait, hold on. Going back to the daubers, Drew. Yeah. ChatGPT helped me out here.
Yeah.
So daubers get clobbered.
Ooh.
Ah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I like it. It also makes me a little uncomfortable. So it's a good threat.
Her parents. Okay, yeah. The year prior to the wedding, in July 2006, Aaron inherited $2 million from her grandmother, which was paid out over an 8-year period. The first payout was received in 2007. So Aaron and Simon quit their council jobs and began traveling around Australia.
You might not.
Yeah. When they got to Western Australia, they bought a house outright with no mortgage. There, Aaron ran a secondhand bookshop while Simon worked as an engineer for that local council. It was around goals. This time. Huh?
Just running a bookshop.
Goals. Yeah, why not? Well, I mean, first science, then accounting, then air traffic control, then animals. Next, obviously, books.
Yeah.
It was around this time when Aaron gave birth to the couple's first child, a son. Because of, I believe the child is still underage at this time, the names have not been made public. Just know, 'twas a boy.
The fuck was that?
It was my alarm telling me that it's 10 o'clock.
Okay. Aaron just... clock for that.
Okay, listen, Lacey. Sometimes in the middle of like evening, I get so busy watching TV or whatever that all of a sudden it's midnight and I have to go to sleep. So I have an alarm saying it's 10 o'clock. It's getting late. It literally says it's getting late. Just so that I'm aware.
You just get lost in TV.
Or Sims, or I don't know. Whatever I do, leave me alone. Anyway. Aaron described the birth as traumatic, and Don and Gail traveled to be there with Aaron and Simon to help with the new baby. In an effort to be closer to Don and Gail, the small family relocated to Coonawarra, Victoria. Soon after the move, Aaron gave birth to their second child. A girl this time. So also, you know, because the daughter is younger than the son, she too is underage, therefore not public knowledge.
Is that how that works?
Yes. In 2011, Aaron's father died from cancer, followed by her mother in 2019.
Oh.
She and her sister... What?
I said, oh. I was... When you said that, like, she said they couldn't make her wedding because they were in Russia or something, I thought there was going to be some weird thing where, like,
I don't know why they didn't come. Mm-hmm. I assume it's because, this is my opinion, but based on what I learned about the family dynamic, mom is a successful author, dad is, like, a company owner or whatever. He runs a bunch of companies. And one daughter is a scientist. The other one
gets DUIs
seems to bounce around quite a bit. Job.
I thought it was going to be some kind of a weird thing where, like, her parents were dead.
Dead?
Yeah. Oh. And she had to hold her husband. I don't know.
I think they just didn't approve of her. Okay. So
well, that's not the same. Hey, well, I'm sorry they died.
She's just trying to figure life out, okay?
Yeah. One drunk driving crash after another. Like, I don't know. As far as
everyone
I know,
has a rock one. Bottom.
Sure. In 2011, Aaron's father died from cancer, followed by her mother in 2019. She and her sister inherited their parents' estate, including a $900,000 beachfront home in New South Wales. After receiving her share of the inheritance, Aaron and Simon generously provided loans to his three siblings, helping them each purchase a home.
Wow.
A truly thoughtful gesture from a kind-hearted couple is how everyone thought it was. However, behind the scenes, Aaron and Simon's relationship began to deteriorate following the birth of their son. So, you know, after they had one kid, it started to fall apart. So, obviously, have a second.
Yeah, that fixes things.
That's what I always thought. Kids fix things.
It'll save your marriage.
That's why we don't have a child yet, because we're good.
You have nothing to fix.
Right. What does it say about me that I have three?
Yeah.
Draw your own conclusions there.
This was falling apart.
Well, no, you're not pregnant right now. So you're doing really good.
What if that third one really
brought it all home for you?
Yeah, the third one actually did the trick. Really fixed it. So after multiple short-term separations, followed by reconciliations, Aaron and Simon formally separated for the long term in 2015. They came to an official agreement dividing money, property, and other financial responsibilities, but maintained an amicable relationship. They co-parented their children well, attended church together, and even went on vacations as a family.
Wow.
In 2021, Aaron actually reached out to Simon's brother, Matthew, who also was a church pastor. She went to lunch with Matthew and spoke about feeling sad that her relationship with Simon was unable to move forward. She asked Matthew for advice about how to get Simon to agree to marriage counseling. That possibility...
Aren't they, like, divorced?
Separated.
No. Officially separated.
Oh, okay.
So, like, through the years, they would, like, I'm going to my brother's for a week type thing, but then would come back. And then they officially separated. Where, like, you have to file a thing with the government saying that
we're doing it for real time.
Yeah. At least that's what it's like over here. So the possibility of reconciliation fell apart in 2022. See, what happened was Simon filed a tax return listing himself as single.
Mm-hmm.
In doing so, Aaron became ineligible for government child support payments, and Simon was advised to stop covering school fees and medical expenses for their children. So what I think he must have done is that instead of saying that he had dependents or anything, he said, no, I'm single. So, like, the government was like, you don't have any dependents, so you don't need to pay for the school fees or medical expenses for these children who aren't yours. And then Aaron, who was saying, like, he's the father of these kids. Well, he's saying he doesn't have any kids, so now Aaron doesn't get government support.
But that's weird because, like, I mean, I don't know how their tax stuff works, but, like, here, if you're split but you have kids, you can't both claim the kids. Like, you have to choose who claims the kids on your taxes. And that doesn't just, like, null and void one person's child support because they're not the one who claims the kids this year.
But also, why would he do that?
Well, let me go on.
Did he not understand the form?
Simon said that it was just a mistake made by his accountant.
Okay.
But the error left Aaron feeling frustrated and financially disadvantaged.
Yeah.
Maybe she shouldn't have given all of her money to his siblings.
Yeah. But also,
you said it was a loan, though.
Yeah, I don't know if they ever gave it back.
If it was truly a mistake on his end and he was told, hey, guess what? You don't have to pay your kids' school fees anymore. Wouldn't he be like, oh, but I'm still going to. Because this was just a mistake in the paperwork and I'm not a shit dad, so I'm going to pay for my kids' school fees.
I don't know how it works in Australia.
It would be weird. I think it would be weird for him to be like, oh, no, that was just a mistake, but thanks. I'm not going to pay anything anymore.
Well, I wonder, does Australia have universal health care?
I feel like most do.
Mm-hmm. So, I think if you have universal health care, it means that you're paying more in taxes.
Yes.
So, I wonder if he got more of a tax break because he had to pay less because he's got less dependents receiving universal health care. And, like, now full medical expenses, like, that full tax, whatever, is on Aaron.
Okay.
Still I barely understand our tax system. So I can tell you for sure, I don't know. But what I do know...
We sound pretty confident talking about it, though.
What I do know is that Aaron was pissed. So, in early 2023, Aaron moved her children to a different school without consulting Simon. And if you remember, they used to co-parent very well together. Now she's moving her kids.
That's a big,
she's got big feelings.
Choice.
Yes. But do you think that that fixed the issues that were between them?
Probably about as well as having a second kid did.
You're right. It led to more tension. So, that was Aaron's backstory. Let's skip ahead to July 31st, 2023. Remember, on the 29th, she had the lunch. Aaron, now 50 years old, arrived at Leon Gatha Hospital on July 31st, 2023 at 8:05 a.m. The Pattersons and Wilkinsons had already been transferred by this time. Aaron arrived complaining of nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, abdominal cramps, mild dehydration, and sweating. Unlike the others, Aaron recovered without intensive care or a liver transplant. Aaron's doctor, Dr. Christopher Webster, was familiar with the other members of the lunch party. He asked Aaron what had been served at lunch, and she described the meal as delicious. When he pressed further about whether she had used mushrooms in her cooking, Aaron admitted she had. Shortly afterward, she left the hospital against medical advice, saying she was not willing to be admitted.
Interesting.
That's them saying, hey, maybe you shouldn't. And she was like, no. Dr. Webster was extremely concerned. He, like I said, was well aware of what was going on with the other members of her party. So he was like, hey,
you're going to need a liver in a few hours.
Yeah, like, I'm worried about you.
Is this the doctor?
Yes. Do you like the photo?
It's so... like
it's so Grey's Anatomy right now. Yeah. Like, it's nuts.
He's kind of like, gets credited for solving this mystery.
Well, I mean, when everyone else went to the same hospital, and like, I'm sure the ICU doctor there is like, why are we like, why is everyone in need of a liver today? Like, yeah, that came to my head. Strange.
Yeah, especially since of the four people, two of them, like, they're couples.
Yeah.
So anyway, Dr. Webster was very concerned because she just up and left, and he was like, bitch, you're going to need a liver soon. His belief was that the Pattersons, the Wilkinsons, and Aaron had been poisoned with death cap mushrooms.
Oh, that sounds ominous.
After Aaron left the hospital AMA, Dr. Webster called the police in an effort to make Aaron return. He also called her repeatedly and was like, bitch, come back.
In this picture, she looks like she's watching somebody who's standing on the edge of a roof.
Yes.
And she's afraid they're going to jump off.
Don't jump! Yes. After the calls, Aaron did return to the hospital. But while she was doing that, the police were at her house trying to do a welfare check. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the lines got crossed. They didn't realize that she was. The police called Dr. Webster at 10:04 a.m. to report that they were at her house and she wasn't there. Dr. Webster was like, yeah, she came back. But he was like, since you're there, could you do me a favor and check to see if there's any leftover beef Wellington in the house? Aaron told Dr. Webster that the police might find leftovers in the trash. Dr. Webster asked if anyone else had consumed the meal. Aaron said that her children had had some leftovers, but she was not concerned about them.
I would have been.
Webster strongly recommended that the children be evaluated at the hospital. Erin resisted, saying her kids would be scared about having to come to the hospital. So, Dr. Webster said, quote, they can be scared and alive, or they can be dead. Now, Amanita phalloides, more commonly known as the death cap, is the most deadly, most poisonous mushroom of all known mushrooms.
Oh no.
It's estimated that as little as half of one contains enough toxins to kill an adult human. The toxins of the death cap mushrooms primarily target the liver, but other organs, such as the kidneys, are also affected. Symptoms of death cap mushroom toxicity usually occur between 6 to 12 hours after ingestion and include nausea and vomiting, followed by jaundice, seizures, coma, and eventually death. The toxicity is not reduced by cooking, freezing, or drying. Unfortunately, the death cap mushroom can easily be confused for edible mushrooms. Its pale green or yellowish cap and white gills resemble several common varieties of field or straw mushrooms, making misidentification tragically easy. Responsible for the majority of mushroom-related deaths worldwide, the death cap has no known antidote. Treatment is limited to aggressive supportive care and, in severe cases, liver transplantation. Because of its deceptive appearance and devastating effects, it is considered one of the most dangerous organisms found in nature. The officers at Erin's home were able to recover leftovers from the beef Wellington in the trash. For those who don't know, beef Wellington is a classic, rich, and elaborate dish from British cuisine. The beef fillet is seared, then coated in a layer of duxelles, a finely chopped mixture of mushrooms, shallots, and herbs. The beef and duxelles are then wrapped in prosciutto or crepes to keep moisture in. Then the whole package is encased in a puff pastry, brushed with egg wash, then baked until golden brown. Like I said before, Gordon Ramsay loves beef Wellington. So that's why when she was like, I serve them beef Wellington, the doctor was like, use mushrooms, right? Because it's kind of part of the recipe. So on August 1st, the Department of Health interviewed Erin about the lunch. 2 days later, the Victoria Police officially launched an investigation into lunch. Samples collected by the police were tested on August 14th. It was confirmed the presence of death cap mushroom toxins were in the meal.
Uh-oh.
Erin was questioned by police, and she explained that she had combined button mushrooms from Woolworths, which is one of the largest supermarket chains in Australia, with dried mushrooms from an Asian grocer about 3 months prior to the lunch. Erin initially said she had kept the leftovers, intending to eat them later. However, she later threw the remaining beef Wellington away after her guests fell ill. By mid-August, suspicion in the community was running high. Erin's children, who were eventually evaluated and found to be healthy, had not eaten any of the beef Wellington, despite her earlier statements. People grew more doubtful because of several factors. Erin and Simon's tumultuous relationship, the fact that Simon had originally been invited to lunch but didn't attend, and the reality that Erin and her children hadn't been seriously affected by the meal. It all seemed very suspicious. In response to the mounting scrutiny, Erin gave a tearful press statement outside her home, insisting she had never meant to harm anyone. Feeling the pressure from the scrutiny, Erin disposed of her food dehydrator at a local landfill. She initially told police she'd never owned a dehydrator, but later admitted to the police that she'd lied, but only because she was worried it might look suspicious, having one. Not because she actually used it to process the mushrooms. She was like, I didn't use it. I just had one, and people might think. So obviously...
You know what's more suspicious?
Throwing it away.
Lying about it, throwing it away.
Yeah. So... officers traced the appliance to the landfill, and they actually were able to recover it, suspecting it may have been used to dry mushrooms before they were incorporated into the beef Wellington. During the investigation, officers learned that Simon had been hospitalized 3 times between November 2021 and September 2022, with severe gastrointestinal symptoms. During one instance, Simon suffered from acute liver distress requiring emergency surgery and resulted in him slipping into a coma.
And?
Toxicology reports suggested that he may have been subjected to barium carbonate poisoning, a chemical found in rat poison. During interviews, investigators learned that about 2 hours after leaving the lunch, Gail spoke to her daughter and said the meal had gone well, although there had been too much food, so much that Dawn ended up eating her portion. Simon told police that Heather had commented the meal was good, but noted it was odd that Erin had served herself on a different plate than the rest of the guests.
Interesting.
Ian later confirmed this observation and added that Erin had been reluctant to let her guests see inside her pantry. Which I think is weird. Like, you're a guest. Why are you trying to get in the pantry?
But maybe also, you're helping prepare food or something.
Okay. Still, though. Get out of my pantry.
She's not going to go in your pantry.
Okay. Well, you're not welcome to. In speaking to family and friends, police learned that Erin developed an interest in foraging wild mushrooms during the COVID-19 lockdowns. So yeah. You guys were, like, making sourdough bread. She was out picking mushrooms.
Well, yeah. I was not making sourdough bread.
I don't believe you. She reportedly spent time... I know. Shut up. I know you weren't. Calm down. She reportedly spent time collecting and eating mushrooms from the wild, often experimenting with different species. She also had an interest in cooking and preserving mushrooms, including drying them. Police confirmed this after reviewing her social media activity. Erin had posted in Facebook groups about foraging and true crime, which is a weird crossover.
What a weird crossover hobby. Also, I mean, like, you see a mushroom outside and you're like, oh, I think I'm going to eat that.
I don't understand that mentality. Like, I don't trust myself enough to know. And then I also, like, death caps are very, I don't trust.
Yeah, you said it looks similar to something else, didn't you? Like, easily confused with something. Yeah.
Also, nervous. Berries. I don't trust berries.
Yeah.
Never trust a berry.
So these findings established that Erin had both access to wild mushrooms and experience handling them. After a 3-month investigation, sorry, Lewis left, but now is coming back. All right. After a 3-month investigation, investigators had medical and forensic evidence as well as circumstantial evidence. Erin was arrested at her home on November 2nd, 2023. She was charged with 3 counts of murder and 5 counts of attempted murder for all the times she had led. So 3 counts for murder for the 3 people that died, and then 5 counts of attempted murder for Uncle Ian, who survived, and then Simon, because she had invited him to the dinner, and then all the other times that Simon was hospitalized, because they believed that she had been poisoning him at that time as well. She maintained her innocence throughout, stating that although she lied to the police, she did not deliberately seek out death cap mushrooms and did not intend to harm or kill anyone. From the time of her arrest to the commencement of her trial, she was detained at the Dame Phyllis Frost Center, a woman's maximum security prison in Melbourne. Four of the attempted murder charges were eventually dropped prior to the start of the trial, probably due to a lack of evidence. And also, like, I don't know. You invited Simon over, but, like, you really didn't try and kill him at that time. He just, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then also the lack of evidence for the times that she put him in the hospital before. Aaron's trial commenced on April 29th, 2025, in the Supreme Court of Victoria, and lasted approximately 11 weeks. Justice Christopher Beale presided over the court. The prosecution presented the jury with a detailed timeline of events, outlining how Aaron allegedly deliberately poisoned her in-laws. In February 2023, investigators discovered that Aaron had begun using a second cell phone. In security footage of Aaron at the hospital, she is seen in possession of a phone in a pink case. You see it on top of her bag there?
Yeah.
This second phone has never been recovered by the police. The following month, she posted in a true crime Facebook group about dehydrating mushrooms, including details of how she allegedly incorporated powdered mushrooms into different foods. That same month, Aaron received the results of a self-administered cervical cancer screening test, which were negative. So remember the reason why she invited everybody over to her house in the first place?
She wanted to get right with them?
Because cancer.
Oh.
Because she had cancer.
I forgot about the cancer.
Right.
Cancer.
Yeah, now we're finding out.
No cancer.
She didn't have cancer. Right. On April 18th, an iNaturalist user, which is a website for tracking plants and fungi, posted that they had found death cap mushrooms in the Locke area. 10 days later, Aaron's phone data suggested she traveled to Locke, and 2 hours later, she purchased a food dehydrator from a store in Leongatha. On May 21st, another iNaturalist user posted a photo and precise location of death cap mushrooms growing in Outram. The next day, Aaron's phone data showed she traveled to Locke and Outram. Almost seems like maybe she was searching for something. In June, Aaron allegedly told John and Gail that she had an appointment at St. Vincent's Hospital and a scheduled biopsy of a lump on her elbow. On June 16th, Aaron attended a service at Currumburra Baptist Church and invited Don, Gail, Simon, Ian, and Heather to lunch. So she did that like a week prior. The day before the lunch, on July 28th, Simon messaged Aaron to say that he would not be attending, claiming he felt too uncomfortable. Fair. On August 2nd, the day after Aaron was interviewed by the Department of Health, she conducted a factory reset on one of her cell phones and subsequently disposed of her food dehydrator. The jury heard from Simon and their children. Simon testified that his and Aaron's relationship was toxic, while both children said their mother reported feeling sick after the lunch, but was still able to run errands and spend time playing with them. Text message exchanges between Aaron and Simon were presented as key evidence. Simon read several of these messages aloud in court, including one in which he declined an invitation to the July 29th lunch. In his message, he explained that he felt too uncomfortable attending the meal with Aaron, his parents, and the Wilkinsons, but offered to discuss her health at another time. Erin's reply revealed her disappointment and the effort she had put into preparing the lunch, explaining that she had spent hours cooking and purchasing beef eye fillet to make beef Wellingtons, intending the meal to be special. She emphasized that it was important to her to see everyone and to have the conversations she needed, expressing hope that Simon would change his mind. I lost my thought. Sorry. Three friends from the Kelly Lane True Crime Facebook group, which Erin was a part of, were called to testify. They testified that the group eventually became a 5-person private group chat where members would talk about their personal lives. One of the ladies told the jury that Erin had described her marriage to Simon as controlling and coercive, and that she had major concerns about leaving the children with him due to his lifestyle. I don't know what his lifestyle was. They also described Erin posting to the group chat about her new purchase of a dehydrator and her use of it to dry mushrooms for use in food. They often discussed cooking and recipes. Mycologist Tom May was called as a witness by the prosecution to share his extensive knowledge of fungi. Dr. May outlined the difficulty in identifying mushrooms and said that the popularity of wild mushroom foraging had increased during the COVID-19 pandemic, resulting in more calls being placed to the State Poisons Information Center. He verified that the images of mushrooms posted to the iNaturalist website were consistent with death caps, and he testified that the death caps cannot be commercially cultivated. So when Erin said that she bought the mushrooms at a store, nah, that would not happen. In response to Dr. May's testimony, Erin's defense team spent most of their time testing his ability to identify mushroom species, I guess in an effort to be like, well, if he can't do it, how is she supposed to? Telecommunications expert Matthew Sorrell told the court that records from a phone registered to Erin showed that it had connected to a Lock South base station for about 43 minutes on the morning of May 22nd. Suggesting she remained in and around the township. Later that morning, her phone connected almost exclusively to the Outram's base station for 25 minutes.
Are we taking a dramatic pause?
Yes. Child protective practitioner Katrina Cripps testified, providing details about her conversations with Erin, including Erin's statements about her relationship with her in-laws and the sources of the mushrooms. Cripps noted inconsistencies in Erin's accounts of the events surrounding the lunch. For instance, Cripps testified that Erin had stated she ate half of her beef Wellington, whereas Erin later claimed she ate only a quarter to a third. Cripps also mentioned that Erin had told her she had sourced the mushrooms from the stores, but Erin later suggested she might have used foraged mushrooms. She told Erin, yeah, maybe. It's hard to say. You lose track of mushrooms. Cripps told the court that the Patterson children disliked visiting their father because he yelled at them and slept during the weekend. Okay. One of the hospital nurses testified that the Pattersons became emotional. Testified that Erin became emotional and started crying on July 31st when she was told that her two children needed to be tested for mushroom poisoning. The nurse said that the defendant reported diarrhea symptoms and underwent a stool test, which recorded liquid bowel movements, confirming that she had diarrhea, which confirmed that she was having some GI distress or whatever. One of the Department of Health workers testified that he had gone to 12 local grocers and found no mushrooms being sold by them that even resembled the ones that Aaron had used. Another worker had investigated the Beef Wellington lunch, testified that she had corresponded with Aaron between August 1st to the 4th to determine the source of mushrooms. She said that the health department concluded that it was highly unlikely that commercial mushroom supply chains were contaminated with death cap mushrooms. She told the court that Aaron's description of the mushrooms used during the dinner did not match. Therefore, the DOH concluded that Aaron had lied about purchasing the mushrooms from a grocer. Many doctors and nurses testified about Aaron's suspicious behavior at the hospital, as well as the conditions of the Pattersons and Wilkinsons. A pathologist from the Victorian Institute of Forensic Medicine testified that he had supervised Heather's autopsy, Heather Wilkinson's autopsy, and testified that Heather had necrosis of the liver and that her bowel lining was also necrotic. He told the court that Don Patterson received a liver transplant, but that it had failed. And he confirmed that Don died from liver failure and multiple organ failure. They also were able to detect in Don Patterson's blood the toxin from death cap mushrooms. The prosecution presented their evidence about the dehydrator. It was found in the landfill with Aaron's fingerprints on it. But her defense lawyer said that she had admitted to panicking and lying to the authorities. A forensic expert actually tested the residue of the trays in the dehydrator and found it they were positive for death cap mushrooms. So it's not looking good. They were also able to find toxins in Ian Wilkinson's blood. However, Heather and Gail showed no toxins. Aaron took the stand and testified in her own defense, which is always good. She stated that she had prepared the beef Wellington as a special meal and did not intend to harm anyone. She admitted to eating a small portion herself and serving different food to her children. Aaron said she ate about a third of her own meal, telling the court she was too distracted by the conversation at the table. She explained that the plating discrepancy was not true. She said she didn't even own dishware. Like, she didn't own that much. So Ian had said that, like, he, his wife, and the Pattersons were served on gray plates while Aaron was served on an orange plate. And Aaron was like, I don't even have that color. So.
Interesting.
She said.
Color scheme of dishes, if she did.
Yeah, I think that's why it stood out to them. She said, all I own is a couple of black plates, a couple of white plates, and one that has a red on the top and black underneath. So, maybe Ian's just a little colorblind?
Okay.
She further testified that she developed an interest in foraging wild mushrooms during COVID-19 and admitted to experimenting with them, but she insisted she did not knowingly use death caps in the beef dish. She again acknowledged owning a food dehydrator, but claimed she discarded it due to stress and public scrutiny, not to conceal evidence. She also admitted to factory resetting her phone 3 times in the weeks following the meal.
Wow.
The first time was on August 2nd, and that was an attempt to fix the phone her son had accidentally broken. On 3 days later, police executed a search warrant on her and seized her cell phone, prompting Aaron to reset it again, because it contained photos of mushrooms and dehydrators that could incriminate her. The following day, The following day, she conducted a third factory reset of the phone, a decision she later conceded was really stupid. She denied ever using a second phone to hide activity, though prosecutors alleged otherwise. They believed Aaron had used the second phone to research and track locations of death cap mushrooms without leaving a digital trail on her primary phone.
Mm.
After her testimony, the defense rested. During closing arguments, the prosecution argued that Aaron deliberately poisoned her guests with death cap mushrooms while ensuring neither her nor her children were exposed to the toxic food. She fabricated her cancer diagnosis, pretended to be ill afterward, lied about the mushroom sources, and tried to dispose of her dehydrator to cover up her actions. The prosecution framed her actions as a sustained and calculated effort to harm her in-laws. Meanwhile, the defense argued that the poisonings were accidental, asserting Aaron had no intent to kill or cause serious injury. They highlighted faulty human memory, her alleged panic after hospital interactions, and that her online activity and phone resets reflected anxiety, not malice. They defended her credibility and denied the prosecution's narrative of a deliberate plan. Before dismissing the jury, Justice Beal instructed them to consider four legal elements of murder. 1. Whether she caused the deaths. 2. Did she act deliberately? 3. Did she intend to kill or cause serious harm? And 4. Was she acting without lawful justification? Justice Beal warned the jury not to be swayed by sympathy for the victims or media coverage, and to just focus on the evidence. So, before I reveal the jury's decision, what do you guys think? Do you think she did it on purpose or was it an accident?
Guilty. On purpose.
Wow. Wow. Lisa's just putting it all out there.
Yeah, dude.
I'm gonna say guilty as well.
Okay. Thanks for making us wait for that.
Well, in the end, she's out here going guilty without even thinking about it. Like, what the hell?
And I will not elaborate.
Okay. In the end, on July 7th, 2025, so pretty recent.
Oh, okay.
I mean, her trial started in like April. Aaron Patterson was found guilty of 3 counts of murder and 1 count of attempted murder. During the sentencing hearing, Justice Beal received 28 victim impact statements.
Damn.
The defense acknowledged the seriousness of her crimes and accepted that a life sentence was appropriate, but argued that she should not be given a set minimum term before parole, citing, you're going to like this, her suspected autism as a factor that would make imprisonment particularly difficult.
How?
It's so hard, especially if you're autistic.
For everybody else, it would be, you know, so much easier. Yeah.
In contrast, the prosecution urged that Aaron would be sentenced to life without parole, describing her actions as among the worst category of crimes, and highlighting her apparent lack of remorse. On September 8th, 2025, so the beginning of this month, Justice Beal sentenced Aaron Patterson to 3 life sentences plus 25 years, all served concurrently.
How long is their life sentences, though?
So interesting that you should say that, because there was that one thing, I need to look more into it because I don't know anything about it other than the fact that the person was sentenced to life and then they were given like a death penalty. And then they were put to death, but then like their heart stopped and then started up again.
Yeah.
He argued that like, that was my life. This is a new one. Let me out.
No.
So Aaron would be eligible for parole in 2056 when she's 82 years old. Due to her notoriety, Aaron was detained in isolation at the Dame Phyllis Frost Center. Her movements were severely restricted due to safety concerns and understaffing, and she had limited access to exercise and the prison library. Despite these harsh conditions, Patterson has not yet appealed her conviction and has until October 6th to do so. So she has until Monday to appeal.
Mm. Really coming down to the wire.
Uh-huh. And that is the case of the Mushroom Murders of Melbourne.
Mushroom Murders. Made me think of the Muffin Man.
The Muffin Man?
The Muffin Man! Muffin Man. Yes, I know.
Lives on Drury Lane. Well, she's married to the Muffin Man. The Muffin Man? The Muffin Man! Not the gumdrop button!
She's married to the Muffin Man. This has been
episode?
No, I was going to say that Bailey and I just, like, did our take of Shrek. That's it. That's our rendezvous review.
We've done a lot of movies today.
I know. We're quoting tons of stuff.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome, everybody that listens.
I forget what we quoted the first time, but I know that we didn't say where we're from.
Like a girl!
No, Lacey, you're not supposed to say it. Bailey wanted people to respond in the comments.
Right. They didn't hear it. They weren't listening.
Yeah, I mean, if they stuck around this long, then I feel like they deserve the cheat.
Exactly. They've earned it.
You want to know something so sad, going back to that movie? We were in the car for a really long time, and I did the classic, like, I spy something green, and you're supposed to say tree. Then you're supposed to go a vertical log, obviously a tree. And no one did that. No one recreated that scene with me, and it was really heartbreaking.
I feel like you won't stop talking about your trip.
I just don't know the vertical log scene.
Listen, oh, so it's the moose that are on the mammoths.
Are stuck on the mammoth. They can't get off. So they play I Spy the whole time. And all they see are trees. So they just keep coming up with different ways.
Mm.
Leafy and green. Tree. All right. Well, that was sinister.
And we were sarcastic.
And we hope you keep listening.